Welcome, one and all, to the show that speaks about cognitive skills like leadership, communication, teamwork, iterative and adaptive methodologies, emotional intelligence, and coaching. My name is José Mata, and I'm a certified master coach from the Center for Coaching Certification and member of the International Coaching Federation, with over 15 years of experience in the software business. I train, mentor, and coach individuals, teams, and organizations that build, operate, or maintain digital products as part of their business to become well-rounded and knowledgeable on these power skills, resulting in highly performant, resilient, better versions of themselves. You can reach out to me directly by visiting www.josemoda.net or email me at podcast@josemoda.net. First call is always free. All right, let's get back to the topic of today. Enjoy. The law of attraction is an amazing thing. If I were told that a lot of people would be talking this time around about velocity, story points, or estimates, I would not believe it. I was confronted about this topic extensively over the last few months, and I want to share my thoughts. My opinions have been proving themselves provocative, particularly to those who claim they can't stop considering velocity in their organization because otherwise it won't be possible to be successful. So here's my claim. Velocity, estimates, and story points hide something underneath. Early and frequent delivery of quality working product is the fundamental principle that brings that something to light. That thing is focused effectiveness. Complex problems are really hard to solve. Most of us know how to take a backlog item and translate that into some sort of idea of what to expect. This is not the case for most of us, however, especially if the problem is really big. I've observed multiple counts where I fail to see teams come up with precise plans of how to go from idea to working product. The bigger the task at hand, the more imprecise those plans are. The level of imprecision leads the brain to drift away, left without a clear direction and focus. Breaking down a problem into smaller, more concrete ones helps. What's more curious to me is that some organizations don't think of digital products as complex problems that take significant time to solve with relatively good levels of quality. So here's what happens. Complex problems require experimentation and feedback, which is the opposite of traditional life cycles. Experimentation is risky to companies because there's no certainty. So they mitigate it by fixating scope, time, and cost, most of the time simultaneously. This is classic waterfall. When this happens, the product stops being agile and iterative. The market won't be able to react to what's delivered. Teams become demotivated because they're now stuck to deadlines they can't meet, with little to no room for creativity, learning, and team building. Leadership becomes concerned and spends money hiring delivery managers, setting up Jira to assign tickets to people in hopes of regaining control. Waste increases, but quality won't. The team is to blame, and the project sees no light. This level of risk of uncertainty that is typical of complex problems can be mitigated a different way. Evidence-based management, or EBM for short, is a guide that has been developed by Scrum.org. It promotes setting different levels of goals for the product, as well as four key value areas that aim to meet those goals. There are two external areas, current value and unrealized value, and two internal ones, time to market and ability to innovate, which group all possible metrics that allow teams to increase their ability to generate value quicker and more effectively, respectively. Note that these internal metrics have nothing to do with velocity or story points. Quite the opposite, actually. They're merely indicators of how the product teams are able to deliver value to the market effectively and efficiently, and they do not invalidate the need to stay empirical and adaptive. In fact, if you search the EBM guide for deadline, commitment, or estimate, you won't find those words. That's because generating value quickly and collecting feedback from the market are the important things to understand and master. I want to focus on a couple of these metrics. The time it takes to remove an impediment and mean time to repair. Both are great indicators of potential waste, which is the topic I want to bring today. Lean talks about waste when it refers to the value stream. Necessary waste should be reduced to a minimum, and unnecessary waste should be thrown out entirely. So, what kind of waste can we identify when building products? Here are four main symptoms of waste and how we can go about fixing them. Number one is waiting. Waiting is wasteful, probably the most wasteful activity of all. Nothing good comes out of it. You wait when your product manager is not around to talk with the team and validate that the work is quality. If the manager is always busy, inform them of the importance of validating work to be released. Nothing is more important than adding value and getting feedback early and frequently. You wait when a teammate does not review your work the moment you ask. If the entire team is focused on a single item and a time instead, this won't happen. Experiment with not doing something else and instead help the team review what's missing. You wait when you have a question left unanswered. This speaks of focus once more. If the team is together, working on one single item at a time, questions don't linger. Everyone's there to answer them. You wait when you run your automated tests, even more when you run them manually. Technical excellence means you invest the little time you have in making things faster or more efficient. The more you delay improving your automation, the less results you'll yield. You wait when you run into unhealthy conflict. Emotional intelligence, or lack thereof, is one of the main reasons why teams don't pull through. Invest the little time you have getting to know your team members. Promote psychological safety. Remove potential symptoms for lack of psychological safety. You wait when you aren't given permission. An agile team manages itself and does whatever is necessary to generate value. When there's a culture of trust, it enables results. You wait when you depend on external systems. Now, this is a tricky one. The bottom line to dependencies is to minimize them as much as possible. If there's still dependencies, involve other people on which you depend and create conditions for the impact of those dependencies to be minimal. You wait in meetings that shouldn't exist or you shouldn't be there. Now, I'm not talking about normal conversations you have at work. Those are typically okay and very healthy. When you understand you have little to contribute, though, that's when it gets tricky. Item number two, talking. Well, don't get discouraged just yet. Talking is wasteful if left untamed. Don't be discouraged from talking all of a sudden. Conversations are absolutely essential. It is the way we conduct those conversations that might be wasteful. Here's some tips for you. If you're an individual contributor, like a designer or an engineer, a tester, a copywriter, remember that it's your job to ask questions to the product manager and figure out the solutions yourself. This does not prevent you from collaborating with a product manager, quite the opposite. They focus on the problems, you focus on the solutions. Have a goal in mind. What's the conversation about? How will you know the conversation is successful? So you have a goal and a measure. context is king. Give it early on and just enough so there's no overload. If there's a risk that multiple things need to be brought up, split the topics and focus on one at a time. Focus is queen. Decision making is a result of being able to consider only what's necessary and nothing else. Good questions include, what happens if you can't reach the goal? What are the options? Item number three, overthinking, or over-engineering if you must. Overthinking is wasteful if at the wrong time. It is typical of contributors to think of the possibilities of the impact of their work. Everyone does that, and it becomes increasingly more difficult to come back down from all the ideas and prioritize what really matters. It is better to do something less optimal to begin with and change it later than it is to do nothing at all. How do you prevent overthinking at the wrong time? Again, context and focus, the king and queen. Give yourself permission to overthink at the right time and at the right conditions. Gain the perspective you need and strike the right balance of time and energy to do it. You will find the balance, and when you do, you'll be able to focus back on what's most important and filter it from what's far-fetched. Item number four, not breaking down work generates waste. When work is too big to handle, your mind wanders deep into the mist of uncertainty. It is normal to have big problems, and it is very much acceptable to give yourself some time to absorb the generality of the problem and the impact it generates. A good practice is to map the different depths of impact and start slicing. Start with a broad level assessment and then break it down into smaller problems, one at a time. Remember to keep some sort of a breadcrumb trail that connects smaller problems to the bigger ones. That's going to give you perspective. And once you're clear on that perspective, big problems and small problems offer equally sized solutions. Remember, big problems and small problems, but they're problems first. You think about the problems ahead. Then you come up with solutions. It generates a lot of shared understanding of what it is that is important. It becomes remarkably easy to focus on smaller things while not losing track of the big picture. There are other wasteful activities for agile teams, like defects, unneeded features, unnecessary documentation, among others. But the one thing they have in common is this question. How much value do I give customers from what I'm doing or not doing? Depending on the answer you get, you are empowered with the knowledge that will propel you with the honest decision you need to make. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Do you have a question for me to cover? Send it over to podcast@josemalta.net and I'll answer it. Talk to you soon.